ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah! Good morning, friends.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party. Welcome to Static Radio. Yeah. Steve-O, Teo, hanging out with you.
And it is Thursday.
Mystery.
Theology Thursday.
That's right.
Brian Nixon, Jared Petro will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour for Theology Thursday. The next few weeks of Theology Thursday are going to be incredible.
They are.
Today is Beenix's last one for a couple weeks. He's going to be away for a week. But we've got Dr. Steve Collins joining us next week.
Next week.
Week after that, we got Dr. John Lennox joining us. Week after that, we got Dr. Doom joining us.
What?
Yeah, I want to talk to him about this whole, like, hey, destroying the universe's thing.
It's like, what's happening? That about? Are you combining Ultimate and Six? What are you doing?
Why would you do that? What's the purpose?
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out that and so much more because that's how we do. We are quality news programming. I mean, let's be honest.
Yes.
I'm feeling amped today!
Why?
The fog!
Ooh.
I felt like I was a survivor in a horror movie this morning.
Yep.
The fog is really thick outside, guys. I took a bunch of creepy photos. And just, you know, as a little PSA for everybody on the road right now, don't use your high beams.
Please don't use high beams in fog. That's common sense.
Guy in the Honda Accord behind me, turn off your high beams, bro. You're blinding me and everybody else.
Here's why you don't use your high beams, everyone. This is what's up.
Yes.
They're in fog. That's basically like a low-lying cloud. So imagine you're driving through a cloud. Now, what's in cloud? Dust and moisture.
Oh.
So the moisture attaches to the dust, so it's like little raindrops all around you.
Gotcha.
When you shine light into water, what happens?
It refracts. Refracts, that's it.
Boom, it goes everywhere.
Yes.
So if you have more light shining into little water particles,
you're basically making a wall
of light.
Yeah.
You're going to blind yourself and other people. So you use low beams fog.
That's right.
That's why. Yeah. Science.
Unless you have a super awesome Subaru that has fog lamps like mine. Stop it.
Right.
Turn off your high beams. Yeah, dude was behind me driving. Like 8 feet behind me, driving, super close, and had his high beams on this morning. That was a magical experience on my way. It just felt like there were aliens around me.
Aliens!
Yeah. So, there you go. Be careful in the fog this morning. It's supposed to be very rainy and foggy today. Just crazy. The weather for the next few days is going to be a downpour of thunderstorms.
Man, I love thunderstorms right now.
Yeah, me too. Today, Friday, Saturday, it's going to be crazy rainy. There you go. Speaking of rain, it's raining down in my heart right now.
Why?
Yesterday, Comics Corner, it was confirmed that a major character of a comic book I love, they
nixed him.
Axed him. And a lot of people are up in arms because one website that we frequent spoiled it.
Ooh.
Told people.
They had to issue an apology.
They did.
They issued a formal apology. Said they didn't realize their phrasing was so whatever. But it's like, dude, you said what happened the day that the comic released. Of course you're going to spoil it. Idiot.
Guys, this is why you stay close to Team Awesome Morning Party. We promise no spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to help you.
We're going to hang out. Today's going to be a fun day. I'm excited. It is Poultry Day.
Poultry Day?
I happen to own some poultry. It's also Chocolate Caramel Day. So for all you like Girl Scout
I happen to own a chocolate caramel.
Yeah, boom! I will teach you how to make a cream pie out of that and Do-Si-Do's Thin Mints and all of your favorite Girl Scout cookies. We're going to put them all in one pie.
Also, Desk Fest Day.
What?
We're going to find out what that is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a great show on the way. Breaking news. Stay close.
Oh.
Because it's brand new Need to Breathe for you right
now. Nice.
Steve Mawson Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Let's take a look at Traffico quickly here. Fog, low visibility all around Albuquerque. This map says at Albuquerque.
Yeah, dude. So, it's crazy.
All around the city, please keep your low beams on. Do not drive with your high beams on. That actually decreases your visibility and the visibility of the other people in other cars.
We all up in a sci-fi movie, y'all.
You know it, y'all. Long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. Yeah, again, fog, low visibility all everywhere around the ABQ area. And finally, road construction. The roadway is reduced to 2 lanes, I-25 between New Mexico 47 and Rio Bravo Boulevard.
That's your look at traffic.
Traffic right brought to you by Solomon's Porch. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary Campus. Coffee shop here. Getting ready for that depth charge.
Yeah, we're about to call them and start our day.
Man.
You should do the same.
Gets going. Speaking of starting something.
Ooh. What's it about?
Well, as we look like we're in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
A real sci-fi movie is unfolding before our very eyes.
Where?
We've talked about this in... within the last year.
Is it Doug's office because he looks like an alien?
You know, we've all heard of Mars One at this point.
Yes.
Mars One, the project that's going to send a handful of people to a one-way mission to Mars. Private venture. Tens of thousands of people have applied for it. Did we mention it's a one-way mission to Mars? Here's the problem.
Neato.
According to a former candidate... we're learning more about the mission and how it's operating. Dr. Joseph Roche, an assistant professor at Trinity College's School of Education in Dublin with a PhD in physics and astrophysics, found himself on the group shortlist of the top 100 candidates willing to take the journey.
Whoa.
But when he was nixed, he's coming out. I'm willing to bet there was a non-disclosure, and I'm willing to bet he doesn't care. Because here's the thing. Many media outlets continue to report that the Mars One received applications from 200,000 people. Remember, we're talking about
Yes.
Okay. Guess how many number it actually received?
24.
24? That's a way low guess.
No, I don't care.
You're terrible at this game.
No, I feel like people are so stupid.
2,700. That's how many people actually...
instead of 200,000.
Instead of 200,000 people.
What were they thinking?
Yeah. 2,761 people have applied. Some of the leading contenders for the mission actually bought their way into the position. And are being encouraged to donate any appearance fees back to Mars One. It feels like a pyramid scheme, honestly.
Of course it's a pyramid scheme.
Check this out. When you join the Mars One community, which happens automatically if you applied as a candidate, they start giving you points.
Yeah.
You get points for getting through each round of the selection process. But the only way to get more points is to buy merchandise from Mars One or to donate money to them.
Gotcha.
It sounds like when you buy a free or when you get a free app on the App Store and you're like, yeah, this is awesome. Then it's like, oh, you're out of credits.
Mm.
You want to keep playing? It's going to be $7.
See, I don't deal with all that garbage, but I've been trying to tell. I got an interesting opportunity that you might find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
See, what I've done is I've bought these Mars One space rocks.
Oh.
Yeah, and what it's going to acclimate you to the environment of Mars in your own home. So what you do is you just set up these rocks. You kind of just, you know, put a fan by them so it can make the smell float through the house. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
If you sign up now.
Me?
Yes. Then you have the ability to sign, like, your friends up. Like, say maybe you want to sign Doug up because you know Doug would be a great candidate for this mission.
Yeah, yeah.
All I need from you is, like, you just give me a one-time fee of $150. It's exciting. People are really excited about it. Huh. And then for the next few months, we're going to send you a packet. Mars One packet. And then what you do, it's not, this is an opportunity. You can look at it two ways. You can look at it like a trap or an opportunity. And I say opportunity.
I feel like that's what most of the applicants for Mars One are feeling like now. In February, the finalists received a list of tips and tricks for dealing with the press requests.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which included this, quote, if you're offered payment for an interview, feel free to accept it. We do ask you to donate 75% of your profit to Mars One.
That's what I'm talking about.
He said the high-profile prospects, including those in the list of top 10 hopefuls, quote unquote, published last month in the Guardian newspaper are in fact simply the people who have generated the most money for Mars One to this point. Pyramid scheme.
That's not a pyramid scheme, man. It's an exciting opportunity that people are excited about.
I don't think anybody's going to Mars, guys. A contract with the TV production company Endemol, which Mars One claimed could bring up to $6 billion.
Wait. What's it called?
Endemol?
Endemol? Is that where they're setting up the stage?
It's not like Tylenol, but...
It's Endemol.
But Endemol. Yeah.
Where are we going today? Endemol.
Gosh.
There's an old Sears that's closed down. It looks just like Mars. It's weird.
Their TV production company contract is kaput. Nixed. Nothing. So, for all of the awesome that was this Mars One idea, a finalist explaining how it's just straight up ripping off its supporters. And how it's not real, guys. Who knew? Something that seemed too good to be true turned out to be too good to be true.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, some things that aren't too good to be true. We got a list that is going to help you.
Okay.
With your daily lunch schedule.
I like that. And speaking of lunch, today is Deskfest Day.
What?
What is that?
Deskfest?
We're going to find out what that is.
Okay.
Because that sounds really interesting. It's also Poultry Day. So we've got a story of the feathered kind for you. It's Clients Day, and it's Chocolate Caramel Day, and that's why we got Doug in the other room.
Perfect. Speaking of poultry, I've got a great story about my hound dog and the chickens that currently live with me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk about that around the corner. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Good morning, friends. Let's take a look at traffic here in the ABQ area. There's a lot of fog all around, low visibility. It's starting to clear up because the sun's coming out, but still fog in certain parts of the city, so be careful. Long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard, San Diego Avenue Northeast, and we've got road construction. Roadway is reduced to two lanes, I-25 between New Mexico 47 and Rio Bravo. That is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669.
Woohoo!
Good morning.
Good morning.
Static Radio. Team Awesome Morning Party, of course. Steve-O and Teo.
We're here.
The fog was here. It's kind of lingering, right?
Kinda. It is. It is a little bit.
This morning, driving to work, the high beams were grooving in the car behind me. And we've mentioned why that's bad. Because you're basically shining a wall of light. If you're going in fog today, or if you were this morning. Low beams, people. Low beams. But my run-in with... my high beam pursuant this morning got me thinking about driving in general and how it seems like when it comes to New Mexico, our drivers are pretty poor in quality.
Yep. Amen.
Did a little digging and found a list of former driving test examiners who shared their driving test disaster stories. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Question is, what happened when you took your driving test? Any crazy stories?
Ooh.
But, dude, the list is amazing. One test candidate, I guess, put the car into drive while starting the engine of the automatic car and launched them into the side of the driving test center.
Are you kidding me?
I have no idea how that's
possible.
But apparently it is.
Man, I would be, if I was a... Like a, oh, what am I thinking?
A driving instructor?
I would be horrified to go to work.
One examiner asked his candidate to pull over on the side of the road. However, apparently the location and the car's slow speed drew the attention of a passing police officer who asked the men why they had stopped in what was, at night, a red light district.
Ooh.
Unconvinced of the explanation, this examiner and his student were actually arrested.
What? What?
You know, you're driving slow. You're driving slow in the wrong neighborhood. You pull over.
Yeah?
Next thing, you're going to jail for soliciting.
Doug,
how crazy is that?
Did this happen to you,
buddy? This is
buddy?
Real life.
Producer Doug in the other room, we don't get to talk to anymore. Did this happen to you? Yes. Yes.
Dude.
I think he's just shaking his head. I don't.
And one examiner told a story of a time where he asked his driving candidate to make an emergency stop, which the dude promptly did.
Oh, God.
So quickly,
yeah,
that it caused a large hardback road atlas what? On the rear window
a hardback?
To fly forward and hit the examiner across the neck, knocking him out cold. These are the best!
That's incredible.
Oh, man. Driving test disasters. A woman became so nervous during her driving test that she actually passed gas.
Oh.
During each gear change.
What? No, that's dumb.
The examiner says he was coughing so much so that his eyes were watering, resulting in him in losing one of his contact lenses. This is real. Yeah.
Good grief. Guys, driving, we want to know your driving story.
That's right.
When you were learning how to drive, what'd you do? You know what the hardest thing for me learning how to drive?
Huh.
Stick shift.
Oh, dude.
The worst is when you're learning how to drive a stick shift and you're parked on a hill at a red light.
Oh, man.
And then...
Or for me, it was always like overcompensating because I was so nervous that I was just going to start rolling backwards.
Whoa!
And I was like,
whoa!
Yeah. Like every yeah. time.
Yes, every time.
Every time!
Every time. I almost hit... I almost hit a car the other day because it was a stick, and the light turned green, and I, you know, just not thinking, started going, and then looked, and the car in front of me was just shaking like it was on hydraulics or whatever. That's what I thought was happening at first.
Yeah.
I was like, are they? What? And then I realized they just couldn't get
just
it into gear.
In, yeah, there you yeah. go.
It's embarrassing.
Talking embarrassing driving test stories. Found a list according to Express.co. One examiner said. He told his student to make himself comfortable in the vehicle. Candidate did that. The examiner then started to drive or walk around the back of the car.
Okay.
Examined everything, make sure everything was
normal.
Cool.
Normal.
And that was when the car started and the student drove off.
Oh, gosh.
Without the examiner.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, the candidate returned and walked back into the test center and said, huh? How'd I do?
No way.
Real story.
No way.
Real story.
How'd I do?
I'm wondering if it's because of this day and age of, like, dash cams and whatever. Maybe
oh,
he
yeah.
assumed that it was like, all right, bro, here's how you do
like
it.
Like he was getting tracked.
Like you were just, all right, you just track it. We're
oh,
just, we got
did
this
you
dash
see that three-point
yeah.
park? That was yeah. incredible.
Was
good job.
It was great,
kid.
Right?
Good job.
I got to be honest. When I was a kid, my mom finally said, hey, we want to teach you how to drive. Taking you out to this parking lot, basically, and you jump in the driver's side. I jumped in the driver's side. I drove around the parking lot.
Yeah.
I lived in a small town, Las Vegas, New Mexico. We ended up driving all the way to this pizza joint because I remember it was like getting near for dinner. And she was like thoroughly impressed.
Nice, nice.
So she allows me to drive us all the way to this pizza place. Totally not legal.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, 12. Almost. So, yeah, I was young. And maybe not that young.
11. Jackson.
We got all the way to the pizza place, and I parallel parked along the street, and we got out, and my mom was like, that was the best driving you've ever done. I can't believe it. This is your first time behind the wheel. And I'm like, yeah, totally, my first time behind the wheel.
Oh, my gosh.
I totally have not been sneaking out, and, like, you know, you put it in neutral and then, like, push it out of the driveway. Yeah. Yeah, I fessed up because I was that kid. It was like, I've been stealing the car.
Ah!
I'm so sorry. I've been driving around at night and my friends were doing it. Yeah,
is
totally.
Is it bad that I wish I would have gotten in more trouble when I was a kid?
Why?
Because everybody else did such cooler stuff than me.
That wasn't cool.
I was lame,
I
guys.
I stole my mom's car to drive around the block.
You're right, you're right.
That's not cool.
It's not that I was lame. It's that I am lame still.
Gotcha.
Hey, Doug, can we get into some hood rat stuff or
there's,
something,
there's
me and you?
There's nothing I can do to fix that. That's just, yeah. It's
I just
want to
do
done.
Hood rat stuff
you
with my
can't.
Friends.
You can't. You've got responsibilities.
No,
you're
not
about
yet.
To be a dad.
But soon.
Yeah, soon, very soon. Speaking of, coming up, we're going to talk about this any day now.
Dawn's ready to go.
It's true.
She's ready to pop.
How do you pass on hood rat abilities to your child when they're an infant?
I don't know that that's something
what
you want
part,
to pass on.
What part do you... Is there like a baby video for that? Like a baby Einstein?
Being that Dawn is about to explode here, and you could be gone at any minute now.
Is it baby thug life?
I want to help you. I found 15 once popular baby names on the verge of extinction, and I'm going to convince you to bring at least one of these back.
Danger, danger.
That's on the way on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Pretty soon now I hope I find my voice. Not that I have much of a choice.
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Good morning, fair Albuquerquean. I'm here to give you a traffic report now. In patches and parts of the city, we still have fog. That should all be dissipating with the rise of the sun that is currently happening here in the ABQ. But we do have long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. And we've got road construction reducing the roadway to two lanes, I-25 South between New Mexico 47 and Rio Bravo Boulevard. And we get a bit of congestion at the Paseo and I-25 interchange and, of course, around the Big Eye here in the middle of town. But anyway, be careful. Watch out for fog. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. And, man. Hey, everybody.
Oh! Aww.
Why does it do that to me?
There it is.
It doesn't like me. It is Thursday, March 19th. My wonderful co-host here and his beautiful bride are preparing for
an addition.
An addition to the family.
Not of the furry kind, but
new
of
edition.
The baby kind.
A new edition.
That's right.
Not Bobby Brown.
You should have played a new edition song.
I really should have. Dang it.
This will work, though.
It's Baby Come Back.
Yeah, it is.
Y'all are ready for this, baby?
Yeah.
Any day now?
Yes, he said reluctantly.
Now, you guys went old school. So maybe I need to go more old school. You know what? I'm going to go a little more old school because you guys...
What do you mean we went old school?
You went old school. You have no idea if it's a boy or a girl.
It's a clone. That's not old school.
You guys are going old-fashioned way, like, hey, we want to be surprised
what
by this.
What is this?
It's Paul Anka having my baby. Come on.
I really thought you were playing the theme from Little House on the Prairie. You guys went old school. Like, what? You know.
Wow.
Covered wagon style.
So
out on the plains.
You don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
No.
But you've got names?
Oh, we got names. We got names on names.
But before you make a mistake with names.
Okay.
I found a list of 15 once popular baby names on the verge of extinction. And I think, you know, being that you guys, you went old fashioned with it. You waited. Yeah. You didn't want to know. Maybe something classic.
I'm not naming my baby Lyle.
Lyle?
Yeah.
Lyle is not on the list.
Or Clive.
These are...
Or Lowell. 15. Or Claude.
That's hilarious. Because Claudine, number one. Claudine.
Look, I'm not
if
trying...
If it's a girl, Claudine.
I'm not trying to be mean. So please, bear with me. But there are certain girl names
yeah.
where you can just tell that the dad had too much of an issue with it being a girl.
And he was like, I want it to be Claude.
And they he just
Claudine
combined his name with
Claudette.
A feminine suffix.
Yes.
Or something like that. I don't think that's nice. You know what I'm saying?
What about a girl who just straight up has a boy name like James?
I'd rather that happen. Straight up. I would
a
rather
a girl named James.
Yeah. Yeah. You knew a girl named James?
James, man. Jamie.
Jamie?
Jamie.
Hayes?
No.
He's a boy.
Now, dude, that changes everything.
We're going to go over
you guys,
roll.
You know, hey, it's any moment now.
It could happen at any moment. It might have just
the stresses,
happened.
The anxieties, the excitement, the everything that's going on.
Yep.
You guys are gearing up for a baby?
Baby.
I'm going to help you, man.
Okay.
I'm going to help you.
Help me not give it a bad name.
You can help us too. 505-338-3700 if you have a suggestion.
Why do you lock yourself up these
Barbara.
Days?
15 once popular baby names on the verge of extinction. Barbara.
Oh, Barbs.
B-A-R-B-R-A. Barbara.
Babs.
Claudine.
That's one of those names.
Nanette. I know a Nanette.
I do. I'm Miss Nanette. That's what I called her back in Boonville, Mississippi. She worked at the church I worked at.
You want to go classic and exotic?
Yes.
Sheba.
Never considered that.
On the verge of extinction. Sheba-lot.
Sheba-lot. That makes sense. Bumblebee tuna.
Nope.
Bumblebee tuna.
Chandra. Chandra's actually on the list.
Chandra.
Chandra.
Don't we know a Chandra?
We know a Chandra. She calls in randomly.
Oh.
Chandra.
Sorry.
Thisbe.
Never heard that before.
T-H-I-S-B-E.
Why not just
These
go the extra
were
mile?
Popular baby names.
Name your kid Frisbee.
Thisbe. How about this? Zelma.
I'm going to stay away from the names that start with a Z.
Okay, those are the female names that are popular baby names that are on the verge of extinction because nobody's naming their baby this. All right? For the men, let's go with the boys because we don't know. It could be a boy, it could be a girl.
It's true.
First up, Elmo. That was once a popular baby name. No joke.
I think that one got ruined by the red puppet.
Ever met an Elmo in their life?
St. Elmo's fire, man.
Has anyone ever met an Elmo? Ever?
No.
Doug? Non-producer Doug?
Hey, can I tell you guys something that we are seriously considering for a boy name?
Yes.
It'll be in the mix. Emilio.
Emilio!
And that's why.
Really?
Yes. That's why.
If it's a boy, you have to come up with, like, the name of names.
I've got it already, but it's just getting it past my mother-in-law and my mom.
Is it the name that you texted me last night?
Yeah.
That's the name.
That's the name,
That's
Doug.
The name of names of names.
You ready for this? Johnny Scott Danger Lot.
Come on!
Boom.
It's the name! 505-338-3700, the phone number.
And here's the thing.
Because
when he's in college, he will get all of the girls.
Stop
because
it.
He'll say, Danger's my middle name.
Yeah, but...
Literally.
Johnny Scott Danger Lot is a cool name.
It's
all right.
A great name.
If that doesn't pan out, though, here you go. 15 once popular baby names on the verge of extinction. Icarus. Icarus Lot.
I'll take it.
Inigo.
Nope.
Inigo Montoya.
I thought it was
You killed my father. Prepare to die. Inigo, Inigo. How about this? Llewellyn. That's kind of cool.
I had a friend.
Llewellyn.
Mm-hmm. I did. You used to call him Lou.
How about this? Remus. You're from Mississippi.
Remus is still a very popular name in Mississippi.
On the verge of extinction.
Remus.
Believe it or not. How about this? Sherwood.
Really?
That's once a very popular
no way.
Baby name.
Sherwood.
Sherwood. Sherwood Lot.
Sherwood Lot. Sherwood.
That's
Sherwood
like something
Lott.
You would say.
I know. Sherwood Lot. Sherwood Allen Lot. Sherwood Lot. Sherwood Lot. It's lots of combinations.
I feel like there's reasons why these are on the verge of extinction. And finally, for the dudes.
Yeah.
Once... Hey, number one on baby names, now on the verge of extinction, Waldo.
Waldo. Who found him?
I don't know.
That's what happened. Somebody found him, and they were like, this name is stupid.
Apparently, we're not going to find him, because that name's on the verge of extinction. I don't know if I've ever met, like, most of these names, I think I only know a Nanette.
Nanette? I've met a Llewellyn before.
Llewellyn.
I have.
Inigo.
Not.
If your name's Elmo, give us a call. Actually, I shouldn't have said that, because now everybody's going to call and be like, "Hello, Tomo!" I'm going to be like, no,
my
yeah.
My name is Elmo,
yeah, no,
hello! That,
yeah. No, we got it, yeah.
Doug.
Hilarious.
Is your name Elmo?
No.
Just making sure.
Thank the Lord. All right. Speaking of children, we're just going to help you out today, because we don't know. It could be any moment now. You're going to be a dad. I'm like crash coursing it for you, because I've been terrible at being a friend and helping you with dadness.
Thanks.
So, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, I found 7 mistakes you need to let your kids make. This one coming from Family Minute. And also, how to use your lunch hour to grow personally and professionally.
Ooh.
We're just helping you out.
Ooh.
On your Thursday.
Nice.
Of course, speaking of helping you out, 9 o'clock hour, Theology Thursday,
you know
with
it.
Brian Nixon, Jarrett Petro, and of course, us. We contribute.
Us.
Kind of. Yeah.
I contribute sometimes. I like to
you
look
really
at
do.
I like to give Beanix looks that throw them off, and it never works.
Help us name our boy over here's baby.
Yeah, just throw the name out there. Best name, I'm going to name the kid that no matter what it is.
Quick break, right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at him.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Good morning, everybody. My fellow Albuquerqueans. See what's happening on the highways around the city. A lot of congestion around Paseo South, or Paseo and I-25 southbound, that intersection right there. Also, 40 eastbound, right after Coors, the Coors intersection. A lot of congestion. There's still fog here and there around the city. The sun's come up, so it's dissipated quite a bit. We've got long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast, and road construction. The roadway is reduced to two lanes. I-25 between New Mexico 47 and Rio Bravo Boulevard. And that is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by the coffee shop right here on Calvary Campus. It's called Solomon's Porch.
Solomon's Porch.
Sadly, they are out of the breakfast bagel because I got the last one.
Oh, snap.
Bacon and egg and cheese, I know. On a garlic bagel. Yeah,
but they have other options that are delectable and delicious.
There you go. You can catch them right here at 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Give them a call. 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Good morning.
Whoa.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve-O and Teo with you.
Good morning.
You're getting ready to have a baby.
Man, that's music.
Like this should be the theme song of when Little Lot comes into the world.
Little Lot.
Because ain't nobody gonna lie to you.
That's true.
Especially if it's a girl.
I hope.
You, sir, are going to become a slave.
Well, let me
to this wonderment.
Look, let me ask you this. How are you supposed to know if it's a boy or a girl?
Oh, well, that's...
What if they lie to you? How do you differ?
Biology 101. I will totally show you off air.
In Mississippi, they called it, it was called Bible science, and we didn't talk about that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just don't, if what if they lie to me about it?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know?
I'm so excited
in this
for
age
you, Teo!
Of gender confusion, I am very worried.
Truly just a few short days away from you and Don having your baby.
Yeah.
We've talked about once popular baby names on the verge of extinction. If you missed that, you can chime in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you'd like to try and help the Lots name their baby. But I found a list of 7 mistakes you should let your kids make. This comes from Family Minute.
Family Minute.
Let's be honest, as parents, it's hard to see your kids fail. You don't want that to happen. We want to coddle, we want to, you know.
You want to coddle them?
Yeah.
You want your kid to be a winner.
But you know, sometimes it's okay to let them make mistakes. And so I found a list of 7 mistakes you should absolutely let your kids make. Parents, if you'd like to chime in, help our boy Teo here out as he prepares for fatherhood.
Ooh.
I found out this morning you haven't read any parenting books, so I want to make sure that we give you all the advice in the world. That's not true, actually. Have you read any? Have you read 17 parent books already?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Dang it, Teo!
I read some, though. I read some, like, selections and blogs.
That's
I
good.
Haven't read any books.
That's good. I remember when we were preparing for Jack and everybody gave me a book. It was like, no, you got to read this book. No, you got to read that book.
The best book
you
I got.
Do this.
Who gave me this book? Somebody gave me like a baby manual. And it's,
that was Darla.
Darla. Yes, Darla. Thank you. It was, it's written just like any instruction
Stereo
manual.
Instructions.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Best baby book I've ever seen.
And
in
that's
my life.
The one that I've used the most.
Right.
I just haven't
I
found
it.
The page where it tells you how to tell between a boy and a girl yet.
Dude,
it's,
yeah.
It's got to be. It's got to be in there.
That was quite possibly my favorite baby gift you've received thus far, was the stereo instruction manual done up in baby form.
Yep.
So
excited.
7 mistakes to let your kids make. Number 1, let them fail a test. Now, obviously, your baby's not going to have any tests as a baby. But as they get older, if your kid chooses to disregard your advice to turn off the movie and study, don't be afraid to let him fail. I gotta be honest, last night, we were watching The Flash. And then when The Flash was over, it's like, Jack, did you still have homework? Yeah, oh, you said you, okay, well, you got like 30 minutes, bro, you better get to it. But I was watching TV, mm-hmm. and he kept looking over and watching what I was watching and not doing homework. So finally, I turned off the TV because I wanted him to focus, but apparently I should have just kept watching the basketball game and let him fail.
Oh, yeah, you should
have. I didn't know that. I didn't know. So now I know just to keep watching TV. But I feel like I was causing a distraction.
Did that make you fail? So now you failed.
I was just grumpy because then it was like, well, what am I going to do now? I guess I could read.
Who wants to do that?
Who turns the TV off? This is awful.
Reading.
Yeah.
Who needs it?
It says sometimes it takes one bad grade to wake them up to the importance of studying so they'll do well on future tests. Again, 7 mistakes you should let your kids make. This coming from Family Minute. Number 2, let them run low on gas.
Okay.
You experienced that recently.
I did. We ran out of gas.
Up.
It was fantastic. Best afternoon of my life. Continue.
And I got the phone call. It was like, hey, man.
Are you around? Yes.
It happens to all of us. This is why if your daughter spent more time than she should at the mall and is left without money to fill up her car with gas.
Yep.
Let her learn her lesson.
Let her learn her lesson.
It'll teach her how to handle money more wisely.
Teach her how to handle the money.
I'm just saying. Number 3, it says, let them forget their practice equipment. When your son rushes out the door and forgets his practice jersey for football, don't offer to drive all the way up to the field to bring it to him. Let him explain to the coach himself
what happened.
It was his own fault, that he wasn't prepared, and let him experience the consequences from the coach.
Football!
Interesting. 7 mistakes you should let your kids make. This one coming from Family Minute. You can also chime in with your suggestions. 505-338-3700. Static!
Morning, guys. Hans speaking.
What up, Hans?
Hey, Hans.
Well, you're a Star Wars fan, aren't you? Why not name Han? You know, Han Solo?
No.
No, maybe. I got it all the time growing up, dude, and that's not even my name.
That'd be interesting because then my son Luke, which, yes, absolutely named after Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
No, not the gospel. Yes, Luke Skywalker.
Hey, did you ever tell Luke? I am your father.
You honestly think that wasn't
the first thing that came
out of my mouth
that
when
he was
popped
out of the womb and he went,
Luke, I am your father. I'm over here. He wasn't even fully out. I was like, can I say it now? Can I say it now? Luke, I'm your... He can't hear me. Luke, I'm your father. I'm your father. Which, by the way, can I just say this? As a uber Star Wars nerd, that line is not in the film.
Oh, pff,
that line
whatever.
Is not in Star Wars.
Huh.
Just saying. Yeah. Yeah.
My name growing up.
Yeah. Says, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father, did he? And he goes, he told me enough. He told me you killed him. And he says, no, Luke, I am your father. That's what he says.
Oh.
So it's a little different. It's kind of like Play It Again, Sam, in Casablanca. That's never said in Casablanca. I'm just teaching you guys stuff, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Hans.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right.
Bye, Hans.
Hans Solo.
Poor Hans. He's always Solo.
His name's Hans. Not Han. Han would be... Dude.
No. I'm not naming my kid after Star Wars. I'm naming him Danger.
I'm a doll a lot. Yeah.
I'm a doll a lot. No.
That's a weird mouthful.
Yeah, I'm a doll a lot.
I just snorted. 7 mistakes you should let your kids make. This coming from Family Minute.
Let me ask you this. Is it wrong for me to prefer that the baby be a girl?
No, not at all.
Well, okay, back to my first question. How do you tell?
Stop it.
No, just help me out.
I'm excited because it's rare for people these days to wait until the baby is born to discover the sex of the baby.
Yep.
So I'm excited for, you know.
I told her yesterday, though. I was like, Dawn, can we just find out today? And she said
no. But you're so close.
I know. She
you're
said no.
So
and I was
close.
Like, but I don't care. We made it this far.
Exactly.
Let's give up now.
No. Gosh. You guys have been so faithful because there for a time it was like, hey, we got to go for like the regular ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you guys have done it. You've rocked it.
Well, apparently our little baby wants to be breech and wants to sit real low and doesn't want to reveal because they said like the umbilical cord was in the way anyway. And our baby's always got its hands in its face or a foot's up there hanging out. I don't know how the foot's up there, but it's up there. It's weird. It's
next
got
week.
Hair though.
Next week.
It's got hair and it's got little eyelashes.
Yes, yeah.
On it. Not, some babies don't
That's
have hair.
That's because he or she is
all.
Ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited, man. Number 4, let them leave their homework at home. If your child leaves his homework or her homework in a stack of messy papers on the floor instead of the backpack, let them learn the lesson and responsibility.
Nah, man, lessons are old
hat. See, here's the thing, though. I have a hard time with this because my kids, let's be honest.
Okay.
They do this.
Well, they need
to
learn.
It seems more usual than not.
You know why it's usual?
Huh.
Because y'all are always cleaning up
after. I get nervous about grades slipping. I don't want grades to slip on account of that when I could just as easily put it in the backpack. I'm terrible. I am blowing this.
What you need to do is let your kid face the consequences of an F.
Dude, now, here's one that happens regularly in the Jeter household, and we just have to let them deal with it. Number 5, let them forget their lunch.
Yep.
If your child has too much on their mind to remember to grab their lunch off the counter in the morning, let them figure out a solution at school. Don't take it to them.
That's neglect.
No! That happens. In fact, this week, we came home and it was like, who's lunch? Because more often than not, one of them will leave their lunch on the counter or somewhere. And then it's like, hey, man, what'd you do? And yet my kids have my mouth. So it's like, oh, barter system. It was like, well, actually, so-and-so gave me their chips. This person gave me this.
Yeah.
So it's like, dang, dude.
They're working it out.
That sounds like a better lunch than I had.
You know,
today.
Though, the sad thing is nowadays some people would hear that and they'd be like, if you're a parent and you are knowingly letting your child walk out of home without their lunch and they're not going to eat,
that's neglect. You're not feeding
them.
That's
dumb.
Yeah. Oh, wait, my wife's the principal of the school.
Yeah. Or you're teaching your kids social skills.
Hey,
how to operate in the real world.
My kids have never gone hungry, trust me. Are you kidding me? They have bartered some hilarious things for food, and I love it.
There's always that kid that gets way too much, and they don't eat at all.
They're walking in their uncle's footsteps. They're going to own a pawn shop someday.
Oh.
Scotty's taught them well, my brother.
Hey, set of footprints was there, that's when
okay.
They were carrying.
That's when the Cheetos.
They were getting carried by somebody else.
Yeah, okay. 7 mistakes you should let your kids make. This coming from Family Minute. Let them wear dirty socks. Whoa, I don't know about that, man. There are some times where I'm like, dudes, scrub those feet. Scrub
it in the tub.
Hardcore, yes. So take it, your son never brought down the laundry basket when you asked them to. It's 7 a.m. They're running around the house asking why there are no clean socks.
Rocking.
Tell them to grab a dirty pair out of the laundry, make it work. Next time they will obey when it's laundry day. I don't know, man. I got to be honest. I'm still unsure if I agree with this list.
No, I think it's good. We are forgetting to teach like how to operate in stressful situations.
Yes, yeah. Could be.
My kid is going to have the most stressed out little life ever.
505-338-3700. Finally, let them miss a target. Say a week ago, your daughter told you that she wanted to go to a concert, and you said, all right, clean your room if you want to go to this concert Friday night. Well, Friday rolls around. She's getting ready to walk out the door. Room's still a disaster. You cannot go back on your word. Yeah. No clean room, no concert.
My parents were good at that one.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to let your yes be yes, your no be no. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that my mom tried to instill in me and something that I work on with my kids, which makes me have to really rein in my tongue because there are times where jokingly I'll want to say something to my kids or frustratingly go, that's it, I'm throwing the Xbox away. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I just said I'm going to throw the Xbox away.
An overreaction.
Yes, absolutely.
Emotional reaction.
Dude, James chapter 3, taming of the tongue, bro. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Yo.
Yo.
You got to let them fight, man.
You got to let them fight?
Well, okay, what if you only have one kid?
Then they fight somebody in the neighborhood or at school. You pump them up one morning, no matter if it's a girl or a boy.
You pump them up?
Like my kids when they were little, I put my hands up and, I teach them left. I teach them the straight left.
Are you doing? No.
Violence.
Well, I promise you I did, and there's nothing wrong with that.
There's a difference between pumping them up for a fight and self-defense if somebody's, like, attacking.
I know. I'm just kidding, guys.
Wait a second. No, we're
you
just
know,
talking
we
about
don't
James
kid
3.
On this show.
Oh. Okay, look, check it out. My son can put me to sleep with a rear naked choke. I taught my daughter, my son, and my wife.
Good.
You know, I taught him that. And then my daughter, if she squeezes tight enough, she could put me out, too.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
I try to let him put me out, but he didn't want to. So,
it's because he's got a sweet heart.
Yeah.
No, they're very sweet. But my son is like, he's huge, man. He's like 6'1", size 12 shoe, like 230 pounds.
Dang.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And I'm like 5'1".
Incredible.
I have no idea where he gets it from. But
amazing.
Poor boy.
Man, but teach your kids how to fight, man.
Poor boy. Man. Did you watch New Community yet?
Yeah. Oh, we didn't get to finish it, man.
Oh, I haven't finished it yet either. I'm so excited.
No, no, we watched it. I got that Chromecast.
No!
You heard of that?
Train wreck!
Anyway, I'm excited. I know you're excited, too.
No, dude, it was good. The beginning, I saw the beginning. I stopped it because it was in the middle of dinner, and I was doing my chicken stuffed broccoli, my signature dish.
Just hanging out with your family. I get it, man.
There you go.
Yeah, that's me and my son's show right there.
All right.
Booyah.
I like it.
See,
I like it.
You're teaching them good skills on television.
That's right.
I like that.
Dude, that's the best.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for calling,
bud. Well, teach them how to fight. Left, right, left, right. Hook.
Left, right, left, right. Down, down, up, up.
No.
Wait, up, up, down, down. Left, right, left, right. A, B, A, B. Start select.
7 mistakes you should let your kids make. Apparently, I just made a mistake because my sister-in-law just texted and said that Tommy is super excited now because Uncle Steve just said on the radio he can wear dirty socks.
Yes.
Crap.
Sorry, miss.
That just backfired. Sorry, Missy.
See, this is an example. Pool Boy and I got into a discussion about Community just then, and you yelled out train wreck.
Yeah!
But then we tied it totally back into our conversation.
Got you.
That's what happens when you don't let your kids play out their mistakes.
Oh, man.
You're yelling out train wreck and trying to fix it too soon. Not giving it a chance to breathe.
No, there's no time. We got 3 to 5 minutes tops.
Not now. Soon.
Incredible. 7 mistakes you should let your kids make. Coming from Family Minute. What would you add to the list? Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or 505-338-3700. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Hey, y'all, it's me, Grandpa Frank.
Oh, snap!
Come down off the mountain, won't tell you about traffic.
Traffic!
I'm not
did
gonna
I just
do that.
Hype man that situation?
Yeah, you did. I'm not going to do that anymore.
I was Scramble Prince hype man. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of congestion 40 eastbound around the Coors intersection and I-25 southbound around Paseo. And we have long-term road construction. San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast, as well as construction down south. Roadways reduced to 2 lanes. I-25 between New Mexico 47 and Rio Bravo Boulevard. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary Campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. You know, people care about health.
They do.
Yesterday, our girl Celeste in the afternoons, she posted an article, What Happens to Your Body When You Stop Drinking Soda. People responded. And so I thought, hey, let's get healthier, people. Let's do this. I found something that can help you maintain that. If you're having trouble deciding which Girl Scout cookie you like the best, according to the Huffington Post, you can now combine them all into one decadent pie.
Nice.
The recipe combines do-si-dos, thin mints, and tagalongs into a cream pie sandwiched between chocolate and peanut butter cream.
Ooh.
Maybe that's not as healthy as that. And in real health news, Time Magazine, how to use your lunch hour to grow personally and professionally.
Nice.
You and I, we get here so early.
So early.
And we usually just work through.
Yeah.
According to Time Magazine, that's terrible for your health.
What are you supposed to do?
Well,
eat.
Number one, this was the top rated thing that you should do with your lunch hour.
What?
A 30-minute workout followed by a salad. That was the number one rated thing, according to Time Magazine.
Maybe.
How to use your lunch hour to grow. Number two, positive company.
Yes.
If you're going to go out to lunch, surround yourself with people who energize you, who get you going, who excite you, people who will push you along to do better.
Woo-woo!
Get your afternoon started off right, because let's be honest, when you go to lunch, you eat that lunch, especially if you're not eating healthy. You come back, you're lethargic, you're tired. Go to lunch with people who encourage you, excite you, push you to do better. Number three, and I definitely need to work on this, improve your listening skills. Make yourself available as a sounding board during your lunch hour. You could actually be helping others
The byproduct is learning on someone else's dime.
Ooh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, man, hey, let me take you to lunch. Okay. I'll be your listening board.
Okay.
I'll be your ear.
I'll do that.
Free lunch.
I can do that.
30-minute workout followed by a salad sounds like torture. That sounds dreadful.
It does. Huh?
I need to get healthy, Teo. You're CrossFit guy.
Yes, I am.
Help me.
I've
be
tried.
Be a positive guy.
Part of living healthily is knowing when to quit putting yourself into a situation so much that it's just running you down. So.
Is that why we don't have lunch together anymore?
Yeah.
You surround yourself with positive people. I'm no longer.
And you try to encourage your friends to get healthy and start exercising, and then at some point you're like, no, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go do this myself.
Dang, dude. At least you're honest. Thanks, man.
Honesty is healthy. Honesty.
I guess I'll just, sport lunch alone today again. Speaking of exercise, we've got mental calisthenics coming up next.
Nice. Of the theological variety.
That's right. Theology Thursday rolls your way next. Obviously, we'll be hanging out. Pastors Brian Nixon, Jared Petro.
It's going to be a really good day. And
it is.
It's a good day to tune in because B-Nix is going to be gone next week.
So you know he's going big today.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go big in preparation.
Yeah.
If you missed any part of the show so far, don't forget we podcast it each and every day. MyStaticRadio.com/mornings. Quick break coming back. Your favorite show. It's Theology Thursday next on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Yeah! Welcome!
Hey.
Hello, hello, hey, welcome.
Hey guys. It is Theology Thursday.
Theology Thursday.
And I gotta tell you guys, I couldn't be more excited for the coming weeks. Next week, of course, Dr. Steve Collins is going to be hanging out with us in studio. Had a chance to visit with him earlier this week, and he's pretty excited.
Pretty exciting, and some of the findings that he's discovered on this recent dig are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary that a British group sent out, and Jarrett, of course, who's going to be here with Dr. Collins, he was actually
there.
I was there at the dig.
You can talk
you
about
what?
All the Indiana Jones-ness.
I watched that, and I didn't see the whole thing. Steve had sent a clip just about half the show with the special code to get
right,
in and check it
right.
out. And it was done so well. Matter of fact, Steve had an actor for him as well.
That's
no
exactly
way.
Right. Yeah, yeah, he did.
Amazing. Yeah, a sit-in actor, yeah.
You know, what's amazing is, and Jared, obviously, we don't want to steal the thunder because Jared was there, and he'll talk more about it.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot to say
but
about
just,
Sodom.
Just... The amount of attention that's going on in this dig right now. And I watched this documentary and this leading other archaeologist, this architectural archaeologist,
yeah.
you know, he kind of tells his story in it. And at the end, he goes, I believe this is Sodom. I mean, you know, this is like one of the lead, and he's, I don't know if he's
yeah.
German or something of that nature, but it was just cool to see the progression
oh,
of all of this.
Rittmeyer.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh my goodness. He's one of the greatest not only architects, in most of your Bible dictionaries, he's the one who did the artwork for, you know, the idea of what it would look like, you know, of course, with architecture
yeah.
of ancient
yeah.
culture. And he's thoroughly convinced. And, you know, what's funny, I just got to say this. You got to tune in to the show next
yeah,
week.
Next week, you totally do.
But with Steve Collins, there's other gentlemen that I was on this dig with. Afterwards, when I get home, I'm starting to go through the bookstore, and I realize that these other guys with Steve are like major authors, and they're sending
awesome.
Me articles and in emails, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was so and so,
yeah.
and you know, and
that's
I'll,
cool,
I'll list
man.
Those guys tomorrow. And I was like, oh my goodness,
this
these guys are
you,
major
yeah, and
contenders.
You know, and on you know. That, and again, Jarrett and Steve are really going to throw
yeah.
down next week. But how cool is it that we here in New Mexico have one of the leading archaeologists,
yeah.
and people could sign up at Trinity Southwest University
right.
and study with one of the leading biblical archaeologists. You know, so people should go to Trinity and check it out.
Yeah.
And what's even cool this year is Calvary here is partnering with Trinity for our School of Ministry. So anyone listening out there who says, you know what, I may not want to put the time and energy to get my BA or master's or even doctorate with Trinity, but I'd love to get some practical ministry experience, School of Ministry.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Jarrett's got like authors writing him, famous authors. I get people like Jack White, they email me all the time. They're like, Matt, who's that Jarrett guy that came to my show and wouldn't shut up and followed me to the bathroom and awkwardly touched my back? I'm like, look, man, I don't know.
Speaking of amazing authors that are emailing people, you know, next week we've got Dr. Steve Collins. I personally am very excited for 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
Because I got an email and it was like, hey, would you be interested in me being on your show? And I'm like, oh, okay, John C. Linux? Yeah. Sure, man.
Yeah.
We got him for a whole hour.
Unbelievable.
He's talking about his new book.
Let me tell people just how exciting this is for John Linux to be on. John Linux is an Oxford mathematician, one of a leading mathematician, scientist in the world. He happens to be a sold-out believer. And what is amazing is his ministry right now has exploded in that he has recently taken on Stephen Hawking and written a book about it. They used his arguments in the popular movie God Is Not Dead when the kid is standing there on the...
But don't let that deter you from liking him.
Right. And people are turning to John Lennox for so many things, for amazing arguments for God's existence.
Yeah.
And John Lennox, as an Irishman, is rocking. And the fact that you get to call him at Oxford is awesome.
Right. Yeah, they sent me all
that's amazing.
I got it confirmed, locked in. We got him for the full hour, Against the Flow, his latest book, taking a perspective of Daniel in this culture, and is the church still relevant today in this postmodern society?
I just want to know, are you going to wear your Letterman jacket or at least
I feel like I need to. I really
want to underscore this with our listeners and people listening on the podcast. The next 2 weeks, you're getting one of the leading biblical archaeologists and then one of the leading apologists in the world.
Yeah.
You'll want to tune in the next 2 weeks. Jarrett and Steve will talk about the dig, and then John C. Lennox. This is big stuff, guys.
You know, I just wanted to do a quick preview of the next few weeks, and now I feel like today's show is going to suck. Yeah. So thanks for overbuilding the next couple weeks.
No.
This week, just us.
Just us. Talking about pot and other questions of that nature.
Boom. That's what I'm talking about.
We do have a lot of questions. If you would like to chime in for Theology Thursday, the purpose of the show, man, the Bible has so much to say. In fact, we believe that the Bible covers the gamut, not just of relationships or finances or things of that nature, but we believe that God's word is so incredible that it has covered anything and everything. Therefore, we believe that there is an answer to be found in Scripture for life's problems, life's complications. And of course, Theology Thursday is a show dedicated to really challenging you, the listener, as well, because we'd like to present all angles of an argument, not just, hey, this is what we believe, so this is what we're going to give you. We will give you the outline of the basic arguments. Then you, scholar, must read for yourself and through prayer and through discernment and through the Word and through God's Spirit, determine and make up in your own mind what it is that you believe. Yeah. So I love
Theology Thursday. So what's the number they call, Steve-O?
505-338-3700, the phone number. Thanks, Phoenix. 505-338-3700.
You're welcome.
He's like Matt and I are like the co-host, but he's like the co-host.
Well, I'm like the dad. You know,
I'm
the dad. Okay, guys, you had fun. Now let's
remind our audience, what is the email address?
Wash your hands and let's get this thing going.
Well, I'm glad you asked. That's studio@mystaticradio.com.
Right.
If you'd like to chime in, there are numerous ways. Facebook.com/mystaticradio as well. And it looks like we already got a plethora of things.
I want to go to the Facebook because somebody wrote, is St. Mateo's Day really celebrated more than St. Patrick's Day in Ireland? Just a rumor I heard. Because that's my boy Noah. Thank you. But secondly, Nathaniel actually has a real question that he posted on Facebook.
Okay.
And we don't get a lot of questions on Facebook, so I thought that it would be a good place
to start.
Let's do it. Yeah. He asks, how does the unpardonable sin fit in with Calvinism? Now, this is a good question, because that would mean that you could choose to walk away from God, the unpardonable sin.
Yeah.
But Calvinism would tell me that every choice I make has already been determined.
Right.
Okay, before we tackle this, and I'll let Jarrett actually deal with the Hebrews scripture that this is it, let me just step back and give you big picture as I normally do.
Yeah!
The big picture is that if you talk to a Calvinist, they're going to say that it has nothing to do with the unpardonable sin. They would say that the unpardonable sin, which is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is the ultimate rejection of Christ. So a Calvinist would say that that person never received Christ. Therefore, they would claim that they... That position supports their position, meaning right. The person never was saved, therefore they were never called, therefore they were never chosen, and so they would say, hey, this supports our position. So the Calvinists would say that doesn't negate that. Now, however, the other side of things, what we could call an Arminianist or even a Molinist view, would be that there is the possibility for someone to walk away from their faith. And Jarrett's going to jump into this Hebrew scripture that really is an intriguing scripture. Hit it, Jarrett.
Yeah, you know, in Matthew 12, verse 31, verses 32, it says, therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, of course, every sin and blasphemy which will be forgiven of men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. That's where the passage is usually, at least the argument surrounds that passage. And Jesus said, of course, you could speak against me, but is speaking against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. And that's where, just adding to what Brian said, there are those who come against Christ and usually, you know, will blaspheme Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and yet Christ still forgives them. Matter of fact, when Jesus was on the cross, thinking about this when we come up to Passover and Resurrection Sunday, Christ looks down and says, one of the first things he says is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, because that is the totality of blasphemy. They put him on the cross. But yet, even in that, Christ was forgiving them for what they were doing to him at that moment, although he was a substitute for our sin. The interesting thing about that is if you look at the testimony, the person of the Holy Spirit testifying of who Christ is, this is where the idea again, and this is just laying out the fact of just the testimony of the Holy Spirit to the person of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that is what is not forgiven of men, because Christ came and proved who he was by not only his works, but the words that he said. And so that is where the argument surrounds itself, Brian, just in addition to that. So the question is what truly is a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And again, you have a camp strongly, again, with evidence saying that it is the Holy Spirit, blaspheming the Holy Spirit in his testimony to the person of Christ throughout Scripture, as it would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking against the person of Jesus Christ. And there's valid evidence for this. But on the other hand, you have those who say, well, again, with Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, what about that testimony? Well, Christ did receive a lot of opposition, and Christ does forgive. And that's the beauty of what we would call this dispensation or this age of grace, where Christ will forgive if people are willing to receive the testimony of the Holy Spirit. But there is a day where someone can reject and have their heart harden. We look at someone like Pharaoh, who did that with Moses, when God began to speak through Moses and say, let my people go. And finally, God really just affirmed Pharaoh's heart in his rejection. And again, backing that up with Romans 1, where God eventually gives someone over to the desire of their heart, yeah, which, you know, is that hardening of the heart to the person of Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit and his testimony. But it's also the testimony of the Father. And I'll leave it to that point. But Brian...
Yeah, going back now, Jarrett, that's great, and obviously the unpardonable sin doesn't necessarily contradict Calvinism, because like I said, and what Jarrett just said, that Calvinists would say that is a testament to, you know, what we're teaching. However, on the opposite side, let's say on an Arminius side or even on a Molinist side, is Hebrews 6. And in Hebrews 6, we get some very intriguing words and teachings of the writer of Hebrews, who we really don't know who that person was. But it says there in 6:4, it says, for it is impossible Very strong word. Impossible for those who were once enlightened. And that word enlightened really has connotations of someone who has experienced the Christian faith and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. So the imagery that's being used in this section of Hebrews is clearly someone who has experienced in a personal way, in a firsthand way, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of Christians, what it is to live in a Christian life. But then it goes on to say, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. So on one hand, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is denial of Christ. And ultimately, a Calvinist would say that supports our position because that person was never saved and therefore they've never received Christ. On the other hand, though, in Hebrews, it seems to indicate that there are those people that have had some sort of experience, with Christians at least, and that they've turned away from it. Now, if you look at that, and there's a variety of viewpoints concerning that scripture text, that this is describing a person who has just experienced church life, but never received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Therefore, they didn't walk away from Christ or their salvation, but they walked away from church. And Pastor Chuck used to put it this way, and I think it's good, it has some holes, but he would say you could never lose your faith, but you could leave your faith, and he would try to distinguish between, you know, losing and leaving. But really what you get in Scripture is you get the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit, but then you get intriguing sections of Scripture here in Hebrews. Jarrett, did you have anything?
Yeah, you know, in addition to that, so often with the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and what Brian just quoted there out of Hebrews chapter 6, you have this idea of falling from grace. And I just wanted to add a little subverse to this, because there is also the question, well, isn't that falling from grace? And Paul shows us something very interesting, because this is the one time in the New Testament where it actually speaks about falling from grace. Is it possible? And this oftentimes people actually think this is the second layer to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just read it to you. It's out of Galatians 5. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, by the freedom or the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage." But what is he talking about, the yoke of bondage? He says, "Paul, I say to you, if you have become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I therefore testify again that every man who becomes circumcised, he's a debtor to keep the whole law." And we know, according to Jewish tradition, that circumcision with the law was to keep that according to the Abrahamic covenant. But then he says, "You have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by the law." And that's the key. Going back under Judaism, going back under a sacrifice that, unlike receiving the complete sacrifice of Christ, but under a sacrificial system and by works of the law, he says, "You have fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness in faith." So, in addition to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, many go back to that verse in Hebrews that Brian mentioned in chapter 6, but also in Galatians 5 verses 1 through 3 there, that speak of falling from grace because one chooses to go back under the law, under the Mosaic covenant, rather than accepting Christ fulfilling that covenant, going back under that sacrifice, not receiving the testimony of the Holy Spirit, righteousness by faith through Christ, but then therefore, just choosing to go back and do works in the sacrificial system of what we have of ancient Judaism.
Yeah.
And that's in addition to blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
One last thought, and this is one of those doctrinal issues that have been in the church for thousands of years. And there truly is two, three, four different angles on this, two different interpretations, three different sides. To me, personally, it's a mystery, because Scripture does teach what we would call the perseverance of the saints, or, you know, that Christ himself, you know, if you're in my hand, no one's going to snatch you away. The Holy Spirit is the sign and the seal. But then you get to these intriguing sections in Hebrews, and you can interpret them appropriately, but the reality is there is a sense of mystery, and that's not just a cop-out. That's just to really say there's two views floating simultaneously in Scripture, and so we have to respect both sides. sides of the coin.
Right on. It is Theology Thursday. Pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro in studio with us. If you would like to ask a question, studio@mystaticradio.com is the email address. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. You can also give us a call. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. It's 505-338-3700. Man, we got a lot of email questions to get to as well.
Let's do them.
A few weeks ago, we got a question about the church and marijuana, and it was kind of like, hey, alcohol became more acceptable over time.
Right.
What's going to happen? And we talked about it. We got that question in late February, but we had a follow-up question come a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And we never got to it. Just wondering if you're going to answer my question from last week.
Which we did.
Yes, we did. But and if not here, then definitely in Shock Therapy Live. But anyway, I visited a friend in Colorado this weekend. There was an awkward moment when weed came out, along with the wine. It's legal now, they said. No different than this glass of wine. Because it's Colorado. And and this person's just saying, what I did in this situation was my decision as a follower of Christ. And then what will the church do with this situation? It's legal now in some states.
Yeah. You know?
So this is just a progression of what... Now the question has changed from, well, what if it becomes legal, to now, well, it's legal.
How do we respond?
Yeah,
it's legal. How do we, the church, respond?
To me, and again, I'll let Jarrett jump in as well, but to frame the larger issue, to me, it's a matter of conscience. This individual, it sounds like that their conscience was saying, don't do this, don't do this. Therefore, she probably shouldn't have done this or have went through that. Now, is it lawful? Yeah, it's legal in Colorado. It's legal in, I think, also Oregon or Washington. And it's going to become legal in more and more states. But I think really though all things are lawful, not all things are edifying. And so I think for the Christian, to draw the line and say, listen, it's lawful, but it's not edifying. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything to help, you know, build myself up, build other people up. Now, if it was for medicinal purposes or others, that's a completely different situation. But in a social situation, you know, let me put it in, let me guise it in different clothing. What if it was abortion? Abortion's legal.
Mm, sure.
And so just because it's legal, does that mean you should do it? No. So that's where your conscience and the testimony and teachings of Scripture, I think, really should come into play.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I would add to this, you know, I think of like 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul begins to describe that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there is like a, you know, again, it doesn't say in the Bible, you shall not smoke marijuana. Thou shall not, you know, smoke a pipe in that sense.
Right.
But, you know, you have the idea of influence and you have the idea of pharmakia. We could talk about all those Greek words and the influence. And God makes it clear that you're really under one or two influences. You're either under the influence of the world in its system, under the sway of the wicked one in 1 John 5, as it talks about, or you're under the influence of God, under, you know, you're bought by his blood. You're under you're a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. And in that reference of being, you know, part of the Holy Spirit and the temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, in addition, in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, you know, are all things legal or lawful for me? He says, you know, could they be? He says, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me in Christ. I'm free in Christ, as we talked about earlier, but I will not be brought under the influence or the power of any of these things. Foods are for the stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual morality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And he continues on, but God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up in his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Do not make members of Christ of a harlot. He continues on, but he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And that's the key. You are not your own. If you truly have been born again by Christ, you're going to be very careful whether, you know, things are lawful for you. Yeah. Is marijuana lawful? Is alcohol lawful? Yes. Is whether it's tobacco, there's certain limitations where you can go, you know what? Is this helpful? It's free for me to do whatever I want, actually. But when that liberty is a license to sin, then I got to ask, what influence am I really under? And that is a question that
throughout the ages has been an issue to where you got to say, you know what, if I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and I believe the Spirit of God lives in me, you have the power to overcome that. That's why Christ set us free, and not to choose those things. Because whether it's marijuana, whether it's this freedom to do this or that, you have a higher calling. You have a greater, response, if you will, responsibility to Christ to realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that you have a greater purpose. And God gives you the power to overcome that, to say no. So I would encourage you with that. Go with 1 Corinthians 6, see what Paul says there, and he talks about that in detail.
Yeah, that's great. And I just want to make one comment on that 1 Corinthians 6. And by the way, it begins in verse 12, and it goes through the end of the chapter. When Jarrett read that to you, what we don't catch of what Paul is doing, Paul's the author of this book, is that Paul is using a play on words. Because in the Roman world, the body, that Greek word soma, was a word that was used for a slave who was owned by a lord, small l. So it kind of had worldly connotations. Well, Paul flips that word on its side, and making that word play, Paul says your body, the Greek soma, is not for the world, but for the Lord. So Jarrett's exactly right. Paul's reply to this is that the Christian's body is not their own. It's not for the Lord, the worldly use, but it's for the Lord, capital L, for his use. So just a little more insight on that 1 Corinthians 6 section.
Do we worry that maybe our, for conscience sake, you know, or that our discernment is slipping? Because I do hear what the Annie Anonymous is asking here, in that, hey, prohibition and alcohol was absolutely not, and now it's like Bible right. study, marble brew pub, let's yeah. do this, and you know yeah, people yeah. are, and but, now it's very, I mean, it's open
now let me alcohol. Say that I do think there's, if it's lawful,
yeah.
that someone could do it. But is it, going back to Paul's statement
expedient,
here?
Expedient, yeah.
I could do it, but is it really going to be helpful?
Yeah.
Now, let me say this. Paul, the one prohibition with alcohol, he says, be not drunk.
Right.
So where it was is, sure, you could drink. As a matter of fact, in other sections of Paul, he says, drink a little alcohol for your stomach.
Right.
So there is medicinal purposes to a lot of this. That's why I said with marijuana...
Right.
You really do have to separate its recreational use and its medicinal use.
But I think there's even a shift within the medicinal, because...
Well, we think of prescription medication,
of time,
too, right? I mean,
I'm just going back to alcohol, yeah. thinking about the idea that with alcohol, yeah. oh, okay, well, he told Timothy, so it's okay for medicinal purposes to have some wine. There's no medicinal purposes about it anymore. It's become
no,
a recreational,
right.
like, hey, dude, after Calvary Knob Hill, you guys want to go hit up B2B, get a burger and a beer?
Sounds good to me.
Right, but you know what I mean? That's exactly what the way it is these days.
But that's... where I think in the individual Christian's conscience, they've really got to set the boundaries in their own life. Because if you know you are given to addiction or abuse,
right.
one beer will lead to two, which will lead to three, which will lead to four, and then it leads to being drunk, and then you've crossed that line.
Right.
Same thing with someone who goes just over the border to Colorado. One puff of marijuana may lead to doing the whole doobie, and more.
And I don't think, I honestly, to differentiate between the two, I do believe that you can have a beer with your burger.
Yeah.
I do not believe you can sit back and be like, I'm just going to smoke, like, I'm going to take like two puffs on this joint and have the same. There's no way. You're going to be high.
Right.
You will be high. It will alter your state of being.
I think for me, this is just me.
Absolutely.
I think it goes back to what Jarrett said using 1 Corinthians 6, our body's not our own.
Yeah.
And then we as Christians have to step back and go, is this situation glorifying? Is it helpful? Is it edifying to the Lord? If not, refrain.
Right.
Refrain.
Yeah,
and you do. And again, Jarrett was saying in the background, I think it is very important, and you were alluding to it as well, Steve-O, is alcohol, you can probably just have one beer, one glass of wine, and be done with it, and you've done your thing. Marijuana, it's
right.
like if you smoke one, I've never smoked marijuana,
yeah.
so I don't know what I'm saying,
yeah.
but what I'm saying is I've heard people say, if you smoke a whole joint, it's not like you are buzzed.
You're high. As that kid that was in the youth group that was corrupt.
Yeah.
I can.
Have
you
ever had the one hit crit?
I can tell you from that experience.
Give me the microphone,
as a younger individual. That it's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember times going to like Dave Matthews concerts where I wasn't even smoking weed, but I was contact high.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So there is a difference between smoking weed and having a beer. It's a whole different argument.
I think, too, it's neat to see, this is a side note, and not justifying anything, but it's neat to see how Paul employed Jesus's method of speaking to the individual.
Right.
Because he's speaking to this church in Corinth, and the big cult in Corinth, they worshiped a sex god.
Right.
And so when he was saying, don't unite your body with a temple prostitute, he was referring to an act of worship.
Right.
He was saying, hey, that's not how we worship.
Right.
But then with Timothy, he's saying, hey, you need this wine for your tummy.
Right.
Because back then, it was medicine, because they didn't have advanced medicine like we have. But you see how Paul was speaking to the individual. And that's why I think matters of conscience, that's what's to be employed here.
That's right. Yeah. And again, Paul makes that point. All things are lawful for me.
Right.
You could do it, but not all things are helpful. Therefore, you're going to really have to pray and seek this through with the Lord.
And I think Matt really hit it on
the
head. Man, that was like, it is a matter of influence. And, you know, and the thing I love is, you know, when you think about drunkenness, that it says in the verses prior to that, no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a scary thought. The question would be, what is that boundary for you or for me? Is that one, five beers, two beers?
And
so I want to stay away in my mind. I would be, you know what? I'm not even going to do that because I don't want to be under that influence. And let's just face it. I mean, if you've been in the world, and most of us, I could speak for three of us in the world that were at least came out of the world coming to Christ.
Right.
When you come out of the world and you experience Christ, truly experience Christ, there is a greater high. I don't know how else to put this. In the Spirit of God, than there is that any drug, amount of sex could give you.
Right.
There's a greater fulfillment, greater, you know, life in the Lord than there is in getting stoned. It truly is.
Amen. And I gotta say, as you know, you're talking about the idea of coming from the world as someone who has come from that. Mm. It's not like, hey, I'm sharing my testimony. I'm so proud that I used to get high all the time.
Yeah.
However, there's from my perspective and from my understanding, because I have partaken in that.
Yeah.
You cannot use this. I'm tired of this marijuana argument of beer, because it's not apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody coming up and saying, yeah, but you can have one glass of beer, so can I have one oxycodone? You know, it's like, no, dude!
Yeah.
Oxy is going to get you crazy high! Can I just snort this one line? Because you can have one glass of wine, why can't I snort cocaine? No! They're not even on the same level of anything. Stop trying to compare smoking weed to having a beer. It's not going to fly with anybody who's ever experienced that or has come from that or been delivered from that.
Amen.
You know the difference between having a beer at lunch and smoking a bowl.
Yeah.
They're completely different things.
You should know the
people
difference.
Actually smoke bowls. What do they do? They break them down. And,
Hey, Phoenix, I'm with you. I've never tried it.
Yeah,
I will say this too. I have friends who are they are believers. As far as I know, between them and God, that's what it is. But they support legalization of marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because a lot of them are from Mississippi, which you would think that would
and
never
then,
happen.
And then, of course, there's Willie Nelson.
But the thing with me, too, is as a Christian, if I have a Christian friend who thinks it's fine, I'm not going to, like, write them off.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me just say something. You gotta love Willie. You know, on one hand,
who are you?
Listen to this. On one hand, he donates all the money to save the Baptist church he grew up on. You know, so he's attending this Baptist church. He does it so they could build the Baptist church. The next day, he's at like some pot, legalization
dude,
thing.
He's gonna start a new festival. It's called Marijuana the Baptist.
Oh gosh.
And he's just bridging the gap. That is copywritten by me. No one can take that.
I don't think anybody's going to want that.
Hey, by the way, I know we got a phone call we got to get to, but I will be in Texas, Lord willing, next week. and I'm doing the Cormac McCarthy loop. I'm starting in Santa Fe, going down to El Paso, where he started to write some of his books, and then I'm ending at the library where his books are housed. So,
you're going to end at the library here in town?
No, the library in Texas, where they bought Cormac McCarthy's books. Yeah, everyone says, you're going to Texas to go to a library? Don't we have them here?
Those things exist still?
Yeah. Don't we have libraries here in Albuquerque? Yes, but they have the original papers of Cormac McCarthy.
That's cool. Theology Thursday, hanging out with Pastors Brian Nixon, Jarrett Petro, and maybe this has sparked an interest in you as far as a conversation. Maybe you're going through something with a friend and you're like, bro, how do I talk to him about this? We'd love to hear from you.
That phone line.
Yeah. Theology Thursday.
Man, you feel like it's Shock Therapy.
I do, because we're talking about weed, man.
338-3700. 338-3700 to call and scream at Steve-O.
There you go. Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? This is Rhett.
Hey, Rhett.
Hey, I wanted to make a comment on your earlier topic, but and I'll get to the question right after that. Basically, you're talking about the unforgivable sin. And I find that with Christianity, you know, it's very much all about balance. And whenever you find yourself going to, you know, in to one extreme or another, chances are you're sort of out of balance, out of alignment, if you will.
It's good, yeah.
And so, what I've come to the conclusion, because as you said, it really is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've come to the conclusion is that when you take a look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the like you said, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to testify to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to convict us of our sins. It is to draw us to the Lord and to salvation and to find redemption through Christ's sacrifice. So it seems as though the one unforgivable sin is the sin that is not forgiven, i.e., if you do not accept the sacrifice of Christ and you die in your sin, there you are.
Right. I would agree with that.
I'd fully agree with that, because even you know, you can almost say that, you know, when you look at even the final revelation in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for our sins, he died, and again, believing that he died for all of mankind's sin, that people will not be in hell, if you will, because of sin, because Christ's sacrifice fulfilled that. They will be for the greatest sin, and that is the rejection of his sacrifice, God's, the Father's choice of the way of salvation. And going back to your point, I fully agree with you. It is that sacrifice, and it's backed up in Galatians and Hebrews that Brian shared. So, yeah, wonderful point, man.
And that kind of brings me to the actual question itself. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is often stated by those who are proponents of, I guess you could say, once saved, always saved, what have you. And then, of course, then you've got those that go with the full-on predestination. You know, some people were literally created as firewood. To fuel the furnace of hell. The question basically boils down to this, and then I'll get off because I've got to run. With that in mind, with those folks who say that predestination, that God has set apart a certain number of individuals, and then there are certain people that God has predestined to burn in the lake of fire,
mm-hmm.
that seems to completely discount the fact that once the Holy Spirit is removed from this earth, there are still people that find Christ.
Hmm.
And so my question really is, boils down to, what are your thoughts on that point?
Yeah, let me handle the first part of the question, and then I'll turn
Thanks
over
for the
to
the question, Rhett.
Yeah, it really was a good question. I'll handle the first part, and then I'll turn over to Jarrett for an end time scenario of the Holy Spirit removing himself. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about predestination, even within Calvinist circles, you have to clearly understand that there are two positions. There's what they call single predestination. predestination, and there's double predestination. And let me give you an example of someone who believed in single predestination. The late D. James Kennedy, when asked if he's a Calvinist, he would say, yes, of course I'm a Calvinist, but I'm a single predestination Calvinist, meaning he believes that the Bible teaches only that God saves or predestined those who received him. Nowhere in Scripture did D. James Kennedy say, does it teach that God predestines those to hell? So someone like D. James Kennedy would say, yeah, I'm a Calvinist. I believe in predestination, but I believe what the Bible clearly states. Now, on the other hand, you have those who are double predestination, and they take that position, not so much because the Bible teaches it, but because they see it as a logical progression to the thought. So their thought goes like this. If God predestined some to receive Christ, he therefore must have predestined others to not have received Christ. And therefore, they believe that some are the chosen or the elect and some are not. Now, you could say logically, progressively, that makes sense. The problem is with that is the Bible doesn't teach that. And so you go back to what D. James Kennedy said, and you could say, yeah, we believe in predestination. I think all Christians do because the Bible clearly states that there's predestination. The position or the point is, are we a single predestination or are we double? I myself am a single predestinationist. I believe that Christ has predestined, or God has predestined us, those who believe, to be conformed into the image of Christ. So my predestination is that I'm being conformed more and more. I'm being molded and shaped by the work of the Holy Spirit to be more like Christ. But nowhere in Scripture do you find God creating people for the trash heap. So that's right. The dilemma there is, when you follow it logically or philosophically, you don't really have the support of Scripture.
I have a question on this, because it is Theology Thursday, and we do like to throw monkey wrenches in and challenge.
Absolutely.
We spent half the show talking about beer and wine, so I'm going to use this analogy. and I hope people don't think it's irreverent. Let's pretend like God went to Kelly's or the grocery store, and it's like, pick your own, you know, six-pack or whatever they do, you know what I mean? And so he goes, this one, and this one, and then leaves all the others on the shelf and then walks out of the store with that six, right?
Right.
By choosing those six, like, I did not choose those other ones, but they're still at the grocery store. So within that, wouldn't it be that he didn't choose those? Or is that too dumb of an argument? Because it seems like, let's make it easier. He goes into the gas station because he needs a pack of gum. And he buys Trident and he leaves, you know, the other brands behind.
Right.
He picked Trident.
Yeah.
He didn't pick the other one.
I feel like he would pick Orbit because it's the cleanest.
But let's say there, you know, when we're talking about the doctrine of predestination and Calvinism versus Arminianism or Molinism, there's so many layers.
I know.
We really would have to dedicate a whole program to unpack all the different layers. But generally, one of the things that we cannot negate in this discussion, and it has both biblical bounds as well as philosophical bounds, is the fact of free will.
Absolutely.
And us as made in the image of God, what does that mean? So it goes back to a Genesis, really, 1 and 2 argument, that we, as human beings, are made imago Deo, in the image of God. And part part of that a creation mandate of us is that we have the freedom to choose. We're different from animals. We're different from other created beings in that there are different characteristics that define who we are. Gotcha. And freedom is one of those.
Perfect. And, you know, the whole idea of going to the, just to say this, when God goes in and chooses the gum or whatever on the shelf, you got to remember, like Brian said, he nailed it. We're creating his image. It'd be like choosing a different kind of creation, if you will, because we're all the same creation. We're all one type of gum, if you will. We're creating the image of God, and he sent his only son, therefore, when you have a brand, if you will, we are mankind, and therefore he chose, according to his love and his intention, he chose man, you know, because of his own son. If you just take it back to the person of Jesus Christ, you realize that even Paul says, therefore, by allowing his son to come die for us,
even angels that have fallen can't be redeemed because they're not of the mankind or the image of God in that sense, created into the image of man and of God. And therefore, you have, if you're going to compare a different type or brand, if you will, it would be angels to mankind.
Cool. Yeah, and that's a solid.
That calls to mind, too, the verse about vessels.
Yeah.
Different types of vessels.
Right.
They're all vessels.
Yeah.
Sure. Some of them are used for different purposes.
Absolutely.
See, I don't think a vessel's purpose is to burn in hell forever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, no, no. This is, that's, but this is why I ask it.
Yeah.
Because on Theology Thursday, we get the questions, and half the time,
it's a great question.
Most of them are just trying to trick us, anyways. Mm-hmm. So we might as well exhaust all of the basic arguments
against.
So,
yeah.
So that we do have, because we are called to have an answer, and that's a solid answer.
Yeah, and let me just share real briefly, just to, because the second part of that question had to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just want to touch bases on that. It's really taken out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul does talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this kind of goes into a different question, but just for the most part, if you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about he who restrains as the revealing of the lawless one is revealed, speaking of the Antichrist. But then it goes into where Paul reminds the church, if you will, let no one deceive you by any means. That day hasn't come until the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who exalts himself. But then he goes on to say, for the mystery of the lawless one is already at work. Only he who now restrains, and many refer that to the Holy Spirit, is restraining, will do so until he is taken up out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. And so the point is, how does the Holy Spirit, in reference to, does he just disappear during the time of Christ's return? And the answer to that is, there was some idea of thinking that the Holy Spirit's not on this earth during that time. But, you know, the reality is, God can't deny himself. Yeah. I believe, again, and this is with other scripture backing it, when you realize that the Holy Spirit's indwelt into the church, the body, the bride of Christ, the bride can be taken out, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is still convicting the world of righteousness and of judgment, as Jesus said, even to the end of the age. So you can't take that part of it out of the way, if you will, because he does convict us of sin. That's to the believer or unbeliever, and that deals with the three prepositions of the Holy Spirit and all that. But the idea of where God takes away his bride, will there be that influence of the church when the Lord takes us to be with him? Absolutely. There will be chaos on the earth, but there are still people we know through the tribulational period that will be saved for their faith in the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and die for their faith. So that's in a nutshell, just talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit being,
We got a few minutes left of Theology Thursday if you'd like to chime in. It is studio@mystaticradio.com or 505-338-3700. This person's been on hold for some time, so let's go out to line two. Theology Thursday, hello.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for taking the call, man. I've been waiting all week to call in.
Yeah, man.
All right, so I've been reading this book, man, and I gotta say, dude, like I don't feel like I was struggling as much with life and with everything as much as I have since I've been reading this book. So I kind of stopped, but there were two quotes that I wanted to just read, and I'll hang up. I want to really understand.
Yeah, what's the book? Could you give us the name of the book to give us context?
Yeah, it's by Christopher Hitchens, and it's called God's Not Great.
Yeah, I know the book. Yeah,
Okay, so I wanted to read just two quotes, and then I'll get up. And I really want to, because I really want to get your take on these. And,
great. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so the first quote is just: our belief is not belief. Our principles are not faith. We do not rely solely upon science and reason because they are necessary rather than sufficient factor. They are necessary rather than sufficient factors, but we distrust anything that contradicts science or outrages reason. We may differ on many things, but what we respect is free inquiry, open-mindedness, and the pursuit of ideas for their own sake. So that was one quote. The second quote was, the Bible may indeed contain a warrant for trafficking in humans, for ethnic cleansing, for slavery, for bride price, for indiscriminate massacre, but we are not bound by any of it. We are not bound by any of it because it was put together by crude, uncultured human mammals. Yes. Now, I really like those two. I don't know. I've been reading the book, but those two, for some reason, was just kind of like, whoa, dude, like where I mean, just a buddy of mine recommended the book. This is the first time I've read it. I'm almost done with it, but I'm just like, I had to stop reading just because
other stuff came up.
I'll hang up and let you guys completely,
sure.
like,
right on.
Like,
sure.
have understanding.
Yeah, let me give you a few big picture things, and then we could deal with the quote specifically. Now, Christopher Hitchens he's since died. He's what is part of the new atheism movement. It's Christopher Hitchens, there's Richard Dawkins, and there's a whole host of these guys. So you have to know on the offset that they're coming with a worldview that there is no God, and their whole point is to try to show people the reasonableness of their position. Now, once you understand that he is an atheist trying to, basically convert you to atheism, you could put it in context. So essentially, your first quote is about free inquiry. And you know what? I would agree with Christopher Hitchens on this, that human beings, as part of our made in the image of God, we are thinking beings. We do have a free will. So we should be a thinking creature. We should think through situations. And truth will stand on itself. It will substantiate itself. Now, obviously, I completely disagree with Christopher Hitchens' arguments. I think his arguments ultimately are just worn-out arguments, and contrary to what he's trying to say, that science has disproved God, the more and more science learns about the universe, the more complex of a system it finds itself in, and they can't even begin to describe how the complexity came to be, how the complexity of the cell, or the human brain, or the universe. So they are as much a loss as anyone out there in trying to describe how things exist. So, yes, free inquiry, that we are people that should be using our minds to ask questions and investigate. Now, the second one, which I think at the heart of it is the Bible is use of evil. Sure, you could take the Bible and make it say anything you want, but you have to look at it within the larger narrative, the context not only of that chapter, but of that book, and that book within the Old Testament and then the New Testament, and then you have to look at it as a full progression of narrative. What these new atheists are doing, they're trying to extract one or two verses and say, see, your God, or God, is a God of evil, he's a God of destruction, he's a hateful, vengeful God, and Richard Dawkins in one of his books says he's akin to, like, the flying spaghetti monster. He's a fairy tale, he's not even real. But the point is they're not biblical scholars. It's sad at how little they know about the Bible, first of all, but just the Bible as literature. So they're trying to comment on something that they know little bit about. What they need to do is study those verses within the context and look at the larger biblical narrative and the theological points and principles that are there. Now, with that said, after you finish this Christopher Hitchens book, go to the John Lennox debate with Christopher Hitchens. And not only that, read Alistair McGrath's response to Richard Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins. Go get William Lane Craig's debate. Get Douglas Wilson's dialogue with Christopher Hitchens. What I'm saying is there's so many Christians out there, very smart people, who have responded adequately to all the pointless, or not pointless, but arguments, that the points that they've brought up.
Would we want to just hold on to these two comments and possibly for John Lennox in 2 weeks?
And not only that, I think, a whole radio program could be, dedicated to the new atheism.
Yeah, but let me say, Christopher Hitchens, obviously he's on a rant against everybody, not only scripture, but he in his book, he just goes through this whole deal with, you name it.
Yeah.
But it's sad to me when I think of someone like this who maybe, well-educated, let's say, if that, but still, when you look at society and culture and you begin to develop, an idea of who God is based on the fallen nature of man, it still leaves that man, whether he writes a book or not, still a sinner. What will you do with your sin? What will you do with Christ, his claims, the claims that Christ Jesus made of himself? Yeah. That is what a person has to really answer. What do I do with Jesus? He claimed to be God, not me. So when I look at that, is either Jesus wrong or is it really true? And did he back it up? Did he prove it? And when I can answer, look at that and go, did Jesus really prove to be God? And is it fulfilled? Do I see it? And, you know, that's the question, because you can look at society. Society's been a mess from day one, and it should be because of sin. But a person's still empty. So I almost see this as his just rant in a way that is really a one big question. Why is the world the way it is?
Yeah.
You know, ultimately.
Yeah. And let me just say again, for resources, after you finish Christopher Hitchens' books, you want to get the debate with he and William Lane Craig, the debate with John Lennox or Alistair McGrath and Richard Dawkins. You also probably would want to go to the Veritas Forum, which is a forum that dialogues on these big issues, particularly as related to New Atheism. Or you could go to Parchment's bookstore. Mm-hmm. There is an end cap dedicated to Theology Thursday, and every week we fill that end cap with books pertaining to these questions. So we will have books by John Lennox. We'll have books by Alistair McGrath and William Lane Craig. You want to make sure you pick those up, because we want you to be equipped.
If you miss any part of Theology Thursday, I think you should check out the podcast at mystaticradio.com, because yeah, I believe it would be very beneficial for you.
And let me also say, yeah, hey, each week we Twitter out or tweet.
Yes.
We tweet out BNix News.
BNix
News Twitter account, that we send this link to the listening world.
And my friend, I believe it would be very, very good for you.
My friend, I believe that too.
I think my friend, you should go check it out.
My friend, I think you're crossing a line.
All right, my friend. I believe it is time for us to go.
My friend, adios. My other friends are ready to go.
All right. Well, I think it is time. We are going to depart.
All right.
But if you missed any part of the podcast or the show, podcast it. MyStaticRadio.com/TheologyThursday. I believe it will be very beneficial for those that are in need. I think so.
Next week, Dr. Steve Collins.
Yes, next week. Stay close. I'm telling you, Dr. Steve Collins, back from the Sodom dig, and Jarrett, you were out there, so
yes,
we're going to get an insider's look at what's going on in Sodom.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, man.
All
resident
right.
expert of Sodom, Jarrett Petro, will be joining us next week. That's it for Theology Thursday. We are on out Middays with Mitch coming up next. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.